Hello and welcome to the Story Fusion podcast with, as usual, with Philip.
And Doro. Hi.
Today we are going to talk about the game 1979 Revolution Black Friday. And big spoiler warnings, we are going to talk about the entire story. And we are also going to mention the graphic novel and the movie Persepolis. Not so big spoiler warning for those. So. And we do hope that you have already seen those or read it. So, what are we dealing with?
We're dealing with a game that's based on historical events. So the year 1979, the revolution in Iran, and the day, the Black Friday. Maybe you start first with going a bit into what's happening in the game.
All right. In the game, you are playing a photographer named Reza, who is, basically an observer of the events which take place there and a minor actor in a certain way. He is, at the beginning of the game, he's getting arrested and he is being interrogated by the warden of Evin. Evin was the
worst place to be.
Yeah, the worst prison of Tehran. And he is actually, he's the warden of Evin, is actually a historical person named, oh god, I have to read that, Asadollah Lajevardi or something like that. He is basically the one who's torturing and interrogating Reza, who you are going to play in the game. And then from that situation, you always have flashbacks to the previous events. And in this case, it starts out with meeting an old friend of yours. I know he's not just a friend, he's your cousin, I think, Babak, who is basically introducing you to the situation where this Iran is on the verge of a revolution against the Shah. The Shah was basically the emperor of Iran, and he had the power mostly due to
British
and American influence, and but the situation is boiling over. It's the people are rising up against the Shah, and in the first parts of the game you get an introduction to the various things that happen on the streets of the mass protests that take place. You can see everything that is taking place. You can listen to some of the speeches and some of the news reports from these events. And you're going to meet a few other characters who are, for example, another cousin, I think, who's by Ali, who is more radical, who is basically a radical leftist, I think, communist, who wants to overthrow the regime with violence. Babak, your other cousin, is more pacifist. You also meet what was the name of this one who does the speech on the
Abbas.
Abbas, yes. Abbas is a guy who is very influential, who is head of an organization in a certain way, of a revolution organization, and he attempts to do a peaceful revolution, but he is not unwilling to use violence if necessary. You also meet a fascinating woman, Bibi. There's hints of a potential love story, but that's the way I read it.
Aha, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the dialogue options to say that you think she's really beautiful.
Oh, really?
Didn't you notice?
I missed that, yeah.
Okay. the big protest you're a part of is being broken up by the police, and you basically save Abbas, who has been stabbed by someone. It's not really clear who it was. And you end up with Babak in an old cinema, where basically which is the headquarters of Abbas' organization. And there you already get to meet various factions who are involved in the uprising. There are the communists, there are the Mujahideen. There are students, there are also the clerics, the Islamic clerics. And did I forget someone? I think that's mostly... And these groups are, well, they are united in their hatred for the government and for the regime of the Shah, but they are not really at peace with each other.
No, and I think that at some point they also have different visions for the future. So
exactly.
The only goal that unites them is really the overcoming of the Shah.
And the game already hints at the various fights between these groups, which, as we know from history, the Islamic clerics have ultimately won in Iran, as they are still ruling Iran today. But to make us to get back to the story that you're playing through, you get to you get drawn into these conflicts. You have to decide on which side you're on certain parts, but in the end, it's always you will accompany Abbas, who is staging another big protest. First you go to see your family, right?
Yes.
I almost forgot that, right? Yeah. You got to meet your family, and with your family is very important that your brother Hussein is part of a special police force, SAVAK, who is...
He's part of SAVAK, really?
Yes, oh. It's being mentioned, yes, that he's part of SAVAK.
Okay,
and he's so basically doing the dirty work. SAVAK does the dirty work for the Shah.
Yeah, it's the politic police, more or less.
Yes.
So they are responsible for a lot of killings during that time.
And he's even... it's even being mentioned that your father... has been more or less something of a revolutionary in the past, but he is trying not to take a side in this conflict.
But he helps you.
Yes,
he helps Reza, the photographer.
Yeah, he helps Reza and the player in a certain way. And ultimately, everything culminates in this next big protest where which is organized by Abbas. It comes which is the Black Friday of in Iranian history, as the police is shooting into the crowd and killing lots of people. You are trying to save Ali, your radical cousin there, who is getting shot at. And Hussein also shows up, and you can decide if you save Ali or if you save Hussein in the situation. I went with the path of saving Ali because... honestly, fuck Hussein. He's an asshole. And
Ali is not so cool either.
Isn't really cool, but at least he's honest.
Yeah, that's true.
And your other cousin, Babak, is also getting shot dead in this case.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, he's getting killed because he is, he's taking a bullet from the police, and, you can't save him anymore. Well, it basically returns afterwards. It returns back to the prison. You have already returned to the situation in the prison several times, where you have been joined by your brother Hussein, who's also a prisoner, seemingly also a prisoner there. And the warden of Evin is trying to pressure you to reveal the plans of those who oppose the current regime, the new Islamic regime of Iran, from you. And they are very interesting to get their hands, especially on the woman Bibi, who has been a minor character in the events which have taken place in the game. At the end, you're basically there's a situation where the warden is going out of the room to pray. You're alone with Hussein. And you also have to decide if you're going to support him, you're not going to support him. But at the end, it's part of the game that I played, in the choices that I made led up to the moment where your brother Hussein is being freed by the warden. And it turns out that Hussein has sided with the new regime, that this was all basically just a performance. That he's also a prisoner, that he's just there to get a confession out of you, and he is the one who basically attempts to pressure you to reveal the location of Bibi, and that's where the story ends.
like Cain and Abel. Okay.
Yes, Cain and Abel. Yeah, you're right.
I loved the how the game made you learn about history. I had a problem with one part of the game mechanics, and that's also the reason why I was so surprised that one of his cousins was shot dead, because I didn't make the playthrough in time because I was thrown out by one of the game mechanics. So I played it on the iPad, and I just couldn't manage one part, or not soon enough. I figured it out then eventually, but it was too late. So I stopped at, I think, chapter 12 from... So I started on the Black Friday... like I think it's chapter 12 from 16 or something, so
yes.
I missed the end.
Yes, the game mechanics are familiar to those who have played the games by Telltale, games such as The Wolf Among Us, and what else did they do? They had a Batman...
Walking Dead.
Yeah, the Walking Dead games, exactly. They had also have a Batman game out now. They have...
Too, yeah.
Minecraft story mode and a whole bunch of games which are basically using the same kind of game mechanics. The player basically has to has limited interactivity. There are always areas where you can walk around and find things, but most of the time you are very limited in what you can do. And most of the gameplay consists in dialogue choices. You have extensive dialogues, which are very interactive, where you can always have to decide what you choose to do or what you choose to say. In this case of 1979, you always have, I think, four answers, potential answers.
Three text answer and one is just like
yes,
dots. So you don't react.
Yes, exactly. And you always have a time limit, usually, where you have to decide which answer you're going to say. There are also, and this is quick time events, which is basically you have to tap the screen or press a mouse button in time before something happens. That's where you had the problems, right?
Right, because, I was then looking at some playthroughs and they all used the mouse and I just didn't translate it. It was late, I don't know. I didn't translate the mouse clicking to tapping on the screen in the box that they showed me. And it was just like, I was going crazy last night trying that. And I was killed, I think, 6 times in a row. And this morning I finally managed. But anyway, so it was too late to play the whole game by myself. And I think... Even with the other, like the walking around was really a bit messed up, to be honest. So you were really clumsy. So you had signs where you were of interest, more or less. And when you tried to walk in there, you had to tap ahead of the character. And the character really, you always felt drunk trying to move, get the character to move in the right direction. And then your cousin, Babak, followed you the whole time. So when you tried to correct your walking, you always ran into him and couldn't move on. And so that was like, I felt really messed up. So the game mechanics kind of were not perfect, but still the game is so cool that I would say, okay, forget about it.
I have to add that I looked at a few reviews of the game before our podcast, and this was big point in almost all of them, that they said, oh, really, the game is very clunky in that regard. And I totally agree. I had the advantage that I played it on PC, and there when you're walking around, it's done with the WASD buttons. So on your keyboard, so it's not as problematic as it is on iPad where you played it. So the game is available for iPad and smartphones and PC.
Because what happens sometimes is, so especially in the cinema where you at the cinema you get Abbas tells you to look around to find the person who tried to stab him. So you walk around the whole thing looking for clues. That means you have to change between different rooms, and this changing of rooms leads to different camera perspectives often.
Yes.
And when you then try to tap the right direction to walk in, it happens often that the camera perspective switches and then you run into Abbas again because you not into Abbas, into Babak again, because you it changed, so you change directions and it makes you a bit dizzy.
Yes, of course it has something to do with the limited this isn't a triple A game after all. This is I don't know, shall we,
I think it's an indie game, right?
Yes, it's an indie game. It's a crowdfunded game. Well, or it was supposed to be a crowdfunded game. That's very interesting because they had the game on Kickstarter in 2013. They wanted to have, I think, almost $400,000 to finish the game, which is a big amount of money to say. But they didn't, they just get a little bit over $300,000. So it was cancelled. But the game was still made through the support of various, well, cultural foundations and stuff like that. So they had only a limited amount of money. And of course, in these parts, I think it shows that they only didn't really have the kind of money that they wouldn't have wanted to. It also did take them 3 years to finish the game from 2000. They worked on it from 2013 to 2016. It came out in 2016. So this is also the reason why the ending of the game is very sudden. Because it was actually supposed to be episodic. There were supposed to be several episodes. I think they were talking about at least three and maybe even up to nine episodes.
Yeah.
And they only finished one. So it's obvious at the ending of the game that it should have been followed by another one who would have been told from the perspective of that woman, Bibi, who is only a minor character in the first game. So that unfortunately hasn't come to pass up to now. Maybe they have gotten the money from the sales of the game to do it now, but I haven't found any info on that. So it remains to be seen if it actually is ever going to have a sequel.
Oh, it would be nice. I mean, they won several prizes for the game, right?
Yes, many prizes, actually. It was very... lots of prizes. they also had some unfortunate consequences from the exposure they got.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, they got... it's being mentioned in the Wikipedia article on the game that they had actually some collaborators who were in Iran. And the game is forbidden in Iran. It's officially not. And they, one of the collaborators in Iran had to flee the country because he was involved with the game. It's, of course, very problematic for the Islamic regime in Iran because the game shows that the Iranian revolution wasn't something that happened, was just, you know, Islamic revolution. The current regime wants it to be just a Islamic revolution and doesn't want it to show that the other groups were involved just as well. It's very interesting because basically all of the collaborators on the game were Iranians or most of them living in exile. The creator of, the director of the game, Navid Konzari, was... left Iran when he was 10 years old. So even he was also one of those who had to flee Iran at one point in time. And you also see this in the voice acting, which I think is very interesting because the voice acting is done with a noticeable Iranian accent. Sometimes even whole phrases are being used. I thought it added a lot to the game.
Yes, yes, it did. Also, like, they had... like words of endearment were Farsi in the beginning and then they continued in English but with this accent, and yeah, I think it took a lot to the atmosphere, brought a lot to the atmosphere,
which also comes in ties into the fact that they used lots and lots of actual documents, yes, actual photos and actual news reports in the game.
So I think this was a really clever way. I mean, setting up the main character, the character you are playing as a photographer, taking pictures, and then, which is one of the QuickTime events, you go through like places, you take pictures, and when you took the picture, you see like a real photography in a book collection. You get more information, background, history information. And what I didn't know, for example, about the revolution then is that Khomeini, the spiritual leader, more or less, he was in a French exile, I think, and his speeches were transported through tapes, like old music tapes. And you find those as well, and then you can listen to parts of these speeches. I think I found 6 in total. And that was so interesting because it also reveals more or less the lies that happened. Or like the, well, I won't ever take leadership because I'm like the spiritual leader, so I won't go into politics and we will have free elections and what blah 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 he promised, which didn't happen then for a while.
Yes, I also think that they took a lot of effort to basically recreate scenes in the game, which directly from the photographs.
Yes.
Which is very, which you wouldn't notice, I think, sometimes if it wasn't explained later on that these are situations that actually did happen just like that during these days in Iran. So this is very, very interesting to have these kinds of... There's also family photographies in the sequences where you were visiting the family, which are actual photographies of children and families in Iran who have been in the credits. It says that these have been donated by anonymous sources. So they had some kind of family. They based the character and his parents and the brother.
Did you also watch the movies of his dad?
Yes, I did the 8mm movies.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah. They made a lot of effort to make this feel real,
so you don't only learn about the history and like the cruel things that happened at the time, but also about the culture. So like special foods and poets and all that stuff. So it's a very rich experience in game and you learn a lot. And I think the aim was also to create like a documentary but with game character.
Yeah.
So to combine that really, and for me I saw that experiencing the game. So you had this whole movie sequences and then there were interwoven the dialogue scenes where you could choose between 4 options, and then sometimes this quick time events where you explored on your own and more or less gathered together these points of interest to fill the background information book somehow. Mm. And you could also go back there because you didn't find everything, which happened to me twice because one time the iPad crashed, so I had to restart it and it didn't save it. So I had to play a game, a scene the whole again. But it was worth it because I explored different things, so that was really nice.
I think this is what you just mentioned is important, that there is this kind of a book that you can go to when outside of the game, that you where you can access additional information about all these things. So it's in the game, it's usually just, I think, a line or two about certain photographies. But if you go back, you can always access more. So it's a very, it's not too information heavy. I think this is important for some players that it's not just, you know, throwing lots of text at you. It's just, often it's just the photographies and what they are, what kind of feeling they entice in you. I think you mentioned, you said something, and then we're going to switch a little bit to Persepolis, the graphic novel and the movie by Marjan Satrapi, who's also an Iranian exile living in France. She's also in Persepolis. She's also, for those who are not familiar with it, describing the events of the Iranian Revolution in mostly from the perspective of a child in this case, and the life after the Iranian Revolution. But you said you were not so deeply into the game as you were into the graphic novel.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but for me it was easier probably to identify with the girl and this maybe more linear story, or it was felt more emotional. There was a bigger emotional connection, whereas I liked in the game, I liked that you learn how screwed up everything is. So you get an understanding for all sides, more or less, from a different perspective, like the, well, young adult. I mean, he's 18, I think, during the revolution, the photographer.
I'm not entirely sure. He's still on university.
18-year-old. In 1980, okay. He's 18-year-old, so he's really young. And with the child perspective, it's still, I don't know. I mean, you learn more about, because it's a longer time and you have more people involved that you get a connection to. I think it's a bit easier to make, to identify with her and to get this emotional closeness. Whereas in the game, when you get tortured, I think you just shut up then in that moment, because you distance yourself automatically because it's just too much.
I think what's interesting is that the game, you were usually talking about different, I don't know, a game is immersive. It creates immersion, and a book creates identification. So these are two different concepts. So in the book, of course, you are having this kind of very strong identification with this little girl who is experiencing the revolution from a kind of, in my perception, naive perspective, because she doesn't really understand what's happening around her just yet. It's mostly the perspective from having drawn the comic much later, which adds to the understanding of the situation. But she makes it always a little bit clear that she really didn't fully understand the situation at this point.
Yeah, but here the interesting thing happens, that because you have the still a narrator's voice somehow, you see that. So she is totally in there, and she's like a cruel child too, like children are, because they are more black and white maybe. And then you have the older perspective, or you learn through the eyes of her parents too, that what's really happening and how cruel that really is. Maybe that's more from a, it's hard to describe what's the difference.
I think the big difference to the game is also that Reza, the photographer, is kind of bland. He is not, he doesn't really, he's a man without any characteristics. And he is just a vessel for the player to immerse themselves. And they try to create this attachment to this character through the moral choices that you make throughout the game, which sometimes aren't very big. Sometimes they are rather small, but still. So they want you to, through the interactivity of the game, they try to create an attachment to the character. And this is, of course, a big difference, because Reza doesn't really have much of a personality.
Well, he's an observer.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Did you, there's one chapter where Abbas, the, not revolution leader, but the leader of this organization who organizes...
this protest.
Those protests. He gets stabbed and you have to help him. Do you know, is there an option that you don't help him? I know that I chose, I'm helping him immediately. There was another option, get a doctor, but I think you still have to help him yourself, right?
I have to admit that I also helped him because I, and I didn't test the other route of the... but of course, he has to be saved somehow because he's important later in the game. So I don't think it's really an option.
Yeah, probably not, because you learn so much at that interaction.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also important that they are creating this sense of urgency. I mean, you have often you have dialogue choices which basically don't really lead anywhere because somebody else is contradicting you. This could be one of these situations where they basically tell you, we don't have time to see to get a doctor, do it yourself. And you end up in the same situation.
Probably, yes. There are several moments or two moments that I can think of where you have the choice of hitting someone or not. So being aggressive or not. And I don't know if you what consequences that would have. I think your cousin... I read that your cousin then remembers that and tries to control you more or something, but I don't know.
It usually leads to different dialogue options. I mean, I have to admit that I wasn't really consistent in what I said. Sometimes I was a little bit more aggressive, sometimes I was a little bit more peaceful. And it usually just led to situations where they would, chastise me for being too aggressive or to being too passive, depending who I was talking to at the time. So I don't know. I think these games very often exist in a sphere where most of the choices are actually illusions.
Right, yeah. It's like you don't have so many branching trees, really, because they just make one branch and then they'll guide you back no matter which direction the branch was taking. They just guide you back to the main narrative. But that's the same with Telltale.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing with Telltale. And these branches are also very expensive, right? I mean, they have to record new dialogue. They have to create new interactions if there were radically different approaches. And I think maybe they had bigger ideas, but they couldn't implement them because they didn't have the money to do that. Well, we will probably never know.
But I mean, one big thing or difference is really in the end, who lives, who dies.
That's true. In the end, but we both only know that through summaries that we read, because we only had only have seen one of those endings where the brother is beating you ultimately in the prison and wants to know the location of Bibi. And in the other option, which is if you have been nice to your brother Hossein, and he will side with you, and in return he will be shot in front of your eyes by the warden. The warden will then
probably shoot you,
threaten you with the gun he just shot your brother with, and ask for the location of Bibi. So ultimately, the end, there are only two possible endings, at least as far as we know. So this is very, of course, also very linear, rather. I mean, it would have been interesting to see if there would have been a second episode, if it would open up a little bit more. But still,
I read something about 1979 Revolution Dark Days. Might that be like a new episode, or was that just me mixing up stuff?
I have to admit that it might be one of those other episodes, because they had, I mean, they had definitely had those other episodes planned out at one point in time. But the interesting thing is that all of the information about this game that you find on the internet, the older the information is, the more info you will find about the other episodes.
Ah, okay.
And the more recent the information is, the less there is being references to the other episodes. So I would hope that they made enough money with the first game to create the other episodes. I think this was their what they wanted to achieve, that they get enough funding to release other episodes. But
and I mean, they also had like a famous name involved with Brian Wood, what you mentioned before.
Yes, true. Do you want to say something about him, or shall I?
No, please go ahead.
For those who are not familiar with Brian Wood is a rather famous writer of comic books. He has worked for Marvel and DC, and he has done independent stuff. His first, his breakthrough comic book was called Channel Zero, which was for Image. And he did a book called Demo, which was with Becky Cloonan. This was the book which got the attention of everyone and ended up establishing him as a writer and Becky Cloonan as an artist, for those who are familiar with Becky Cloonan. And afterwards, he had a huge series for DC called DMZ, which stands for Demilitarized Zone, which was also already taking place in a big military conflict or war, a civil war, basically. In this case, it was a fictional war in a future New York, where everything is where the city is being divided between the different forces of the war. Have you read something else from him? I did read lots of smaller stuff from him.
I think I read Northlanders.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I can't think of anything right now. I just the name popped up in on the page, and I think I read it. I know we have it here somewhere, but I can't remember a word.
I didn't really read Northlanders, I have to admit. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I did read lots of stuff that he made up until Demilitarized Zone. He made smaller ones, like Pounded was one of them. I definitely read Demo, and I think I do have also read Channel Zero. That's something that I don't quite remember. But it's interesting because I think his hand in the project is visible. Of course, the director of the game, Navid Konzari, he's also one of the major writers of the game. And it's easy to understand because he is the one who's Iranian and he has lived through the events described in the game. So, of course, he has written a huge chunk of what we see in the game. But I still think that Brian Wood's influence is being noticeable because Brian Wood is very good, I think, at establishing a world. This is also something that I noticed, which is very noticeable in Demilitarized Zone, where he has this fictional war in New York, where he's describing different factions who are and characters who are the power brokers behind the scenes and those who fight the war, and the main character is once not a photojournalist but a journalist in this case. So there are lots of similarities to 1979. You have read Demilitarized Zone, didn't you?
I can't remember.
okay. All right. But
maybe I should read it. So probably I haven't. Maybe I should read it.
I have to admit that I'm a little bit... I sometimes have a little bit of a problem with Brian Wood as a writer because I think Brian Wood was a protege of Warren Ellis.
Mm.
He shares a little bit of the same phenomenon. Both of them are very good at establishing places and big ideas.
Mm.
And
story.
Yeah, but sometimes, they don't really have a plot.
Mm.
Sometimes it's just, oh, there's this interesting thing, and then there's that interesting thing, and there's a third interesting thing, and it goes on like that forever. And this is something that put me off of Demilitarized Zone in a certain way, because the story never really, I never had the feeling that the story went anywhere. I don't know, maybe ultimately at the end it did somehow, but there was lots and lots of treading water where you just have this journalist wandering through this destroyed New York and describing places and characters, which was interesting, but it really felt like it was going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I think a little bit of this is also in the game. The game is mostly driven by the events of the time, not necessarily by the what the characters want. The the character of Reza is being pushed through the game in a certain way.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you said. He has no character on his own.
Yeah.
He takes sides sometimes a bit because he has to, or you are pushed as a player to take sides, and it's only about your moral choices, but it's not your own doing. So you're not really an active part, and you're just thrown into everything. You're taking the pictures, you help sometimes, and then you're put into jail.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Decide if you rat out anyone or not.
Yeah.
So I chose not to, and you basically didn't too. But
no,
by the
I didn't
ending
either.
It took, yeah.
No.
So we have no idea what happens if you try to tell the warden of even what you know. Probably you end up just dead again.
Yeah, this is something that happens in the game. If you take a wrong turn at one point, you'll end up dead, and you basically have to replay the scene, which isn't really all that much of a setback. It's relatively short, usually.
Until you figure out you have to tap the screen.
Yeah. But I still think, so Brian Wood definitely is, I think he's an interesting writer. I think he's not a good writer for big stories,
mm-hmm.
because they are just trying to find their way, and maybe that could have, he had a big influence on how this character was created and how this game plays out.
You have a kind of like a parallel. You have a journalist and here you have a photographer. So
yes,
it's
absolutely.
Like the same documenting, walking through a place and documenting stuff. So that feels very similar from the structure.
The interesting point is, which I think we didn't have mentioned yet, was that Brian Wood, which I didn't know, had also worked at Rockstar Games at one point in time. And the director of the game, Navid Konsari, was also working at Rockstar Games at one point in time. It's Rockstar Games, for those who are not familiar with the name, is the big studio who does GTA. So those, maybe they met there, maybe they were colleagues, who knows?
Ah, yeah, so he was a staff designer there, designing for Grand Theft Auto, Midnight Club, Max Payne, Smuggler's Run, and Manhunt. Here you go.
Yes. Any more thoughts from you?
Well, I think this want of the character is really, for me, the difference between Persepolis and and the game. So the comic Persepolis or the movie work completely different because it's character driven and the character lives through those times and it has huge consequences on her life, but the main thing is really the character, I think, and her reflections from later on then on being growing up during this time, and it's really her development, I think. So that's, or maybe more the reflection of the people around her when she's a child. But it's like, so I have the child, years of the child, and then her youth.
Yes.
So it's like a long story.
It's a really long story, yes. Yeah. With a the movie ends earlier than the book, the graphic novel.
I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen the movie? Okay, no, all right. You have to do that.
I only read the books.
No, the movie ends at the point where she is leaving Iran for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, there's so much missing then.
Yes. So the years that she spends in
Austria.
In Austria are not featured and all this kind of
and
stuff.
She returns then. Spoilers again, sorry.
But the interesting thing about the what you just said about the character in Persepolis being more complete is something that I just thought about how other games are doing it. I mean, there are lots and lots of games where the characters, where the protagonists are just vessels, where they are completely uninteresting. But I think they... So your usual Call of Duty game, right? I mean, it's just these characters are not really anything. But there are some games which at least try to create somebody who has a personality. I think have to think back at the first Walking Dead game where you have this black man. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But he's being transported in a police car at the beginning of the game. And you basically can do know that he has some kind of committed a crime that he is deeply ashamed of at this point in the game. And that's why he's later on picking up Clementine, is this child that he is, who's basically the second main character in the game. And
Lee
who's...
Everett.
What did you say was his name?
Lee Everett, right?
Lee Everett. Yeah, probably, yeah. Probably right there. I don't remember. Clementine was the girl. That's something I remember.
Right.
And she is the protagonist of the second game. So she definitely is somebody who is much, much more fleshed out.
Mm.
And also Lee Everett is obviously more fleshed out, even though he's still having, you know, chunks of his past missing and you don't really know where he is truly coming from. But he has a little bit more, I think, of a personality than Reza in 1979. And I do think it's a trend in games in general that the protagonists are getting more of a personality. I think games are slowly moving away from these kind of very bland characters who are only vessels.
Well, the more character, the more interesting they get for me.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I mean, there are games where you have to create your own character, which sometimes makes it difficult for the game to offer enough choices or meaningful choices for somebody, for player-created character. But, of course, it's always a question also of means, and 1979 wasn't really a game with a large budget. They are not BioWare. They are not like Dragon Age, where they have a ton of choices and a ton of voice actors who are, speaking entire novels.
But it's a really cool game. So for me, a full-hearted recommendation. And don't get mad when you don't immediately figure out how to walk around or how to get not killed because you don't know that you have to tap the damn thing.
What else would you recommend for our listeners?
So there's a movie I really loved. It's called Incendies, or Incendies. I don't know if that's the correct English translation. It's a Canadian movie based on a theater play by Denis Villeneuve, so the guy who's doing Blade Runner, the new one at the moment, and who did Arrival last year. And it's a great story about a woman who went to Canada in exile, and she's got two children, and at some point the woman dies and her children, a pair of twins, have to find out what happened to her mother, because when they try to bury her, they get two letters, one from their father and one for their brother, and they have to hand those letters over, and they don't know to whom, so they have to find their father. And the girl, or the woman, she's also a woman, travels back to Lebanon to find out about the history. And I won't spoil her anymore, but I can only recommend it. It's a very, very deeply felt and emotional story.
And as far as I remember, it's also pretty dark.
It is. Yeah, it is.
The one recommendation that I have is a graphic novel called The Photographer, and it is pretty obvious why I'm recommending it here, because it's also one of those attempts to create a fusion between photojournalism and, in this case, not a game, but graphic novel. So this graphic novel was created by a French team of creators, Guibert Lefebvre, Le Mercier. They had photographs from a man who went to Afghanistan in the late 80s, early 90s, I think, when Afghanistan was still in the midst of the civil war. And he went there with Doctors Without Borders. He was accompanying a group of doctors who went there to help the civilian population. It's very interesting how they are treating these photographies, because they are basically the graphic novel parts are basically the chunks between those photographies, so that you get an impression of the events which took place and how those photographies came to be. Pretty much like the game 1979 does, which also attempts to recreate these situations. So this also has won lots and lots of prizes. It is a rather pricey book, I have to admit, because it's a huge, oversized, only available in this huge oversized edition, which has features all these photographies and is full color and stuff like that. So it's really expensive, but I think it's absolutely worth the price. It's absolutely fantastic.
Nice. And so I have another book recommendation. So we have a movie, a comic, and a book for the German readers, unfortunately. Or if you speak Turkish, what was it?
French.
Translated to French. And there was a third translation already happening. Or Dutch. So the book in German is called Nachts ist es leise in Teheran von Shida Basiar. Or the title in English would be At Night All is Quiet in Teheran. The story is basically about a family following four generations or four members of the family. It starts in Tehran in 1979, so the year of the revolution. The first member has to flee the country, finally ends up in Germany, and then what happens in exile as well, and always looking back to Iran until now. And it's also a very, very interesting and emotional book. But with happy end.
In this case, a happy end.
Somehow.
All right. Then thank you for your patience and your attention.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Please let us know what you like us to speak about next. Tell us your opinion about the game we spoke about Persepolis. Maybe you have other recommendations about the Iranian history, or stories that remember you of the game or the comic we talked about. Yeah, so let us know.
And see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.